Christ. I'm unmovable in my faith. I'm determined. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. I have made up my mind. Has anybody made up your mind? I'm not turning back. Though he slay me, Job said, yet will I trust him. I'm never giving up. I'm never giving in. This is my, not only my intent, it is my determination. I'm going to serve God all the days of my life. I hope you are too. I hope you've made up your mind to do so. Let's get into the scripture this morning. Acts chapter 5, verses 17 to 33. The high priest rose up and all those that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. They laid their hands on the apostles. They put them in a common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. And go stand in the temple and speak to the people the words of this life. When they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest of those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned to them and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely, so that we might understand what's going on. The apostles had been teaching about Jesus Christ and preaching the doctrine of Christ. And the Sadducees and the officials of the day were aggravated that people were being changed by the message of Jesus Christ. Can anybody understand that? They were being changed by this message, and it infuriated them. They used the word indignation, but they were angry to the point of arresting them and putting them in jail. And they thought that would be the end of their problem, but the problem was, is during the night, God sent an angel to smash into the jail and allowed them to get free, and then told them, now go talk about Jesus in the areas of ministering again what was going on. Now look what happens. It said that they indeed found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. I don't know how God always does what he does, but he's a doer of what he does. Amen. He had a way of getting them past the guards. The guards didn't even realize that those who they had securely locked behind the prison was no longer in the prison. They were back out of the prison. So it says, we found no one inside. Now when the high priest, the captains of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And here's what's happening. Everyone that hearing the message of Christ is receiving Christ with a glad heart. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So now you've got a problem, because although they want the problem stopped, if they try to now take those men that are sharing Christ Jesus back into custody, and if they handle them roughly, those who are getting happy about God will now stone the officials. So it's not working out the way they want. And now, so I love this. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And I love this. Notice they didn't even say the man's name. They weren't about to say Jesus. They're just telling them, didn't we warn you? Didn't we talk to you about this? Why are you still doing what we told you not to do? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. There's something about this gospel message. It's contagious. Come on, it's infectious. Amen? And intend to bring this man's blood on us. How are you going to put this on us? Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered. Notice now, they're not intimidated to say his name. They immediately put Jesus in there. Whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. Him God has also exalted to the right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. We are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. I want to speak for a few moments this morning on being unstoppable believers. Ask your neighbor, are you an unstoppable believer? Are you an unstoppable believer? I've got a video for you.
Islamist terror group Al-Shabaab recently joined with Al-Qaeda. It now wants Sharia law and to rid the Muslim country of all Christians. Specific targets are Christian converts from Islam. This Al-Shabaab video swept the internet in September 2008. It shows the brutal beheading of 25-year-old aid worker Mansour Mohammed. He converted to Christianity in 2005. One year ago, this Muslim convert to Christianity was awakened in his home by Al-Shabaab soldiers. We agreed to protect his identity and give him a different name, Abdi.
They ransacked my house, searched my bag, and found several pages from a Bible. They had crosses on them.
Abdi was taken away, imprisoned, and tortured.
Tell me what they then did to you and what they said to you.
I was blindfolded, and they put me in a dark, underground cell. They beat me up with a wooden baton. They wanted to know where I got the Bible pages, and if I knew of any others like me. When they finally took the blindfold off, I noticed three dead bodies in the room. They placed them there just to frighten me.
His torturers said they were going to kill him. But late one night, Abdi and two cellmates made a daring escape.
The guards thought they had locked our cell door, but it wasn't locked. We opened it, ran to the wall, and started climbing. The guards opened fire on us. Bullets killed one of my cellmates, but the other prisoner and I jumped over the wall.
Reunited with his family, Abdi is now living in a safe place. He says he still suffers physical pain from the torture he endured. Spiritually, he feels closer to God.
I was happy to go through all this because now I'm stronger spiritually. People prayed for me to escape. Their prayers are what saved my life.
Somali Christian leaders estimate less than 200 Christians exist in this country of 10 million. Secret believers like this woman, she wants us to call her Fozia, often suffer punishment and humiliation for refusing to conform to Islamic law. Fozia says as a Christian, she could not bring herself to abide by Al-Shabaab's requirement that women wear a burqa. While Fozia dressed modestly, she did not want her face fully covered. Al-Shabaab Sharia police, similar to these on patrol in Banda Aceh, Indonesia, noticed Fozia walking in public without a burqa.
They said the clothing I was wearing was unacceptable. They said I was naked.
Fozia received a public flogging, punishment similar to that inflicted on this Pakistani woman by the Taliban. Fozia received 30 lashes. She inched her way home despite debilitating injuries.
A female neighbor came to my house to wash my wounds. I was bleeding, my flesh was peeling, and it was extremely painful.
Fozia says it's too risky to own a Bible, so she listens to nightly Christian radio broadcasts from neighboring Kenya. Fozia found refuge at the home of a Christian friend in another Somali city. But what happens to other Somali Christians when their lives are threatened for leaving Islam? Some are receiving help from an American mission group. This safe house not only gives former Muslims a place to eat and sleep, it also provides them with spiritual fellowship and discipleship. It's run by mature believers who host no more than two people at a time. Eventually, this safe house will help these temporary residents transition to life on their own. Basma was 7 months pregnant when her Muslim husband divorced her. With nowhere to go, she returned to her mother's house, where she delivered her baby. But when Basma's family discovered she had become a Christian, her stepfather kicked her out of the house.
He said I was infecting the entire household, and he threatened to kill me if I didn't leave.
Basma was forced to live on the street with her infant until a VOM worker met her and offered her refuge at the safe house.
I was praying that God would give me a house where I could sleep. This is a very good house, a house of worship, a house of God. He answered my prayers.
Fozia and other Somali Christians are praying for a better life, one free from the oppression of Al-Shabaab and other Islamists.
Pray that we Somali believers will live our lives closer to the kingdom of God. Pray that we will endure the weight of life in this Islamic nation.
Gary Lane, CBN News, Somalia.
Pretty amazing, huh? Unstoppable believers. The apostles in the early church were marked by boldness. They just knew that that was the way of life. We in America, and I don't want to make this a political message, but we have the freedom to read our Bibles as much as we want. We have the freedom to come to any church that we desire to be a part of. It is a freedom and a right that we have. Whether you realize it or not, those freedoms are trying to be stripped away from the church. They're trying to be stripped and taken. They've taken prayer out of the school. I shared this in the first service, but when Daniel was going to high school in Citrus Heights, we were down there working in the district, and we were at Mesa Verde High School. Some of you heard the story. Daniel wore a Christian t-shirt to school. They called him into the office, and they said, "You are not permitted to wear that shirt. You cannot make any kind of a religious gesture with what you wear." And he says, "I have a problem with that. Since you have other people wearing all sorts of other shirts that have profanity on them, that have other religions on there, but you're attacking my right as a Christian to wear something that identifies me as a Christian." They said, "Well, regardless of what you think, you're going to have to remove the shirt." He said, "I refuse to remove my shirt until you make all the other students stop wearing their shirts." Well, they wouldn't do it, and he was allowed. They didn't take that. But these rights are being taken away from us. We had a statement as our nation, "In God we trust," that this was a nation under God. In fact, I just heard this the other day. My daughter-in-law, Crystal, was actually having a recording with the court. And where normally you have to say, "I swear to tell the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God," the "so help me God" part is no longer there. How many realize there's some things happening? These are changing. And it's amazing to me. Do you know that in other countries, right now it is recorded that there is approximately 160,000 Christians a year put to death for their faith? How come you don't hear that on the news? We had in our organization one time where the jihad had gone through a missionary area that we had, where 13 churches were destroyed, and they killed over 100 of our missionaries in the Pentecostal Church of God in one sweep. They took and beheaded our missionaries and paraded their heads on sticks, on staffs, going through in front of their families. How come you don't hear those things? Hear about all sorts of other things, but we don't hear about these things. The early church had boldness. They were bold in being defiant. They said, "I would rather obey God than obey man." They made their statement, their position. They said, "You know what? I'm bold enough to stand against whatever you come bring against me. I'm going to serve the Lord." Do I have anybody here that's going to serve God? I'm going to serve God no matter what. They said, "I don't want you to talk about Jesus." Too bad. I'm going to talk about the Lord. "I don't want you to try to share people," because the Bible said you are infecting Jerusalem with your message. I would love to think that we're infecting our world with the message of Christ. I just heard, some of you have heard the news about the measles outbreak. Anybody hear that? That started in Disneyland, they think. There was, 33 cases, I believe it was. And I was a little bit surprised by this. I don't know about you, but I heard that if somebody sneezes that has measles, that just the infectious particles of that sneeze, I'm trying not to be gross, carries a 2 hour before that infectious ends. So here's what they said. If you have not been vaccinated, I'm not trying to make any political statements here. That's not what I'm doing. But if you have not been vaccinated and you come in contact with the measles virus, you will catch it. That's what they said. If you have not had it, you've not been vaccinated, you might catch it within 2 hours. Well, that, I don't know if you followed it right now. It's now, I think they said, in 7 states from Disneyland. It is also in Mexico now. It's already gone down into Mexico. So it's now all the way up California, Oregon, Washington. If you watch it, it'll show you all the different states that have been infected by that. Wouldn't you love the gospel of Jesus Christ to infect our world? Because there are people that are just simply bold. They are bold. They were bold to be defiant. They were bold in their witness. The Bible tells us that on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, that those that were there waiting for the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the birthing of the church, that when they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, what did they become? witnesses. We were talking the other day, a group of us men that meet for coffee. We were talking about how that you know, it takes boldness to shine for Christ when others around you are not. You know, you may be in a group of people and maybe lunch is served, and you may be the only Christian in a lunchroom. Are you bold enough to bow your head? I'm not talking about having to yell out a prayer, but softly just, Lord Jesus, thank you for the provision. Are you bold enough? Or do you succumb to the peer pressure of those that are there that you know, if you're singled out? These men, these apostles, were singled out as believers, but they were bold. And they not only were bold in their witness, but they were bold in their lives. They boldly lived for Christ. You know, you'll remember the story tells us of when Peter was in the Garden of Gethsemane with Christ, when the Roman soldiers came into the garden with him. He stood with Jesus with a sword to his side and chopped off the ear of the Roman soldier. Remember, Jesus rebuked him, took the ear of the soldier, slapped it back on the head of the soldier and healed him. And Jesus is like, listen, you can always count on me, Lord. You can always know I've got your back. Have you ever had somebody tell you they've got your back? And you think, well, where are you? I've seen you in a while. And yet Peter, at the time that when push come to shove, those that saw knew that this was one of them that had been with the Lord. He began to make his denial. No, I was never with him. No, I was never with him. It's interesting. The only apostle you find at the cross with Christ was John. The rest of them had abandoned him and his entire congregation. How many will be bold in your lives? You're going to be bold to serve God? Bold to take your stand? Bold to say, I am a Christian, I am a believer? I'm one of those that Jesus died and paid for my sins. I'm one of those that are associated as a believer. The Bible said even Peter's speech gave it away. The way he talked. There ought to be a way we talk that gives us away, right? So I've got three questions for you this morning. Question number one. Would you go to jail for your faith? Would you? I mean, if push come to shove, if the Christian freedoms that we are acquainted with and know well here in America, if those were stripped from us, and if they told us, if you still declare that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, I'm going to put you in jail. Would you go? Would you be bold enough to say, you know what? I'm a believer. Nice red shoes there, James. I'm bold no matter what. Shoe, excuse me. That's funny right there. I'm bold enough that if push come to shove, if necessary, and they arrest me, I'm willing to go to jail. You know, those things could be happening. Those could be happening. They're already coming against ministers and requiring, saying, ministers that will not perform same-sex marriages, that they're going to put us in jail. We have in our guidelines as an organization, we cannot perform same-sex service, same-sex marriages, and if we do so, our credentials are stripped from us. But what about those that don't have those guidelines? What are they somebody going to be willing? It wouldn't matter about my credential or not, I won't do it. But will they put me in jail for it? Are we willing to say, no matter what, I'm going to serve the Lord? Is anybody with me this morning? Are you guys willing to be bold? Because you don't know that. You don't know that at one time your faith may be tested just that strong. Second question. Would you die for your faith? Think about it now before you just answer abruptly and say, oh yeah, you know I would. Our district bishop, he at every single credentials committee, he has a couple of very basic questions to our applicants that are pursuing credentials with our organization. He will ask them the very simple question, do you love the Lord? Do you believe that with your whole heart you really truly love Jesus? Do you really sincerely believe that you have a personal relationship with God and that you have been born again? He'll ask them those very basic things. And then he'll turn to them and say, let me ask you this. If push come to shove, Do you really believe you would die for your faith? I've heard him ask one after another, one after another, would you die for your faith? It's a tough question, isn't it? Would you be willing? You might sit here and quietly, or even I could have you maybe stand, those of you that would, and you might stand and applaud and say, yes, I would die. And yet some of you, on the very basics of what God requires of you, you say no. God says, I want you to honor me first with the first part of your income. I want you to give 10% first to God and God alone. I'll die for you, Lord, but I won't give for you. No way. I know that's not you. It's the first crowd that I was preaching to. They're an ornery bunch. Oh. Not you guys. No, you guys are faithful. I mean, you'll say you'll die for them, but will you live for them? Because I can tell you this, if you won't live for them, I don't know that you'll die for them. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, I love this illustration. The Bible's comparing the goodness of God versus the goodness of a father here. But listen how he words it, and you need to understand the context of Scripture and understand what Jesus was illustrating. He says, if you earthly fathers being evil, now please understand Jesus is not saying we're evil, but comparably speaking, how many realize that no matter how good you are, you can never be as good as God? So if you were comparing yourself with God, it's the difference of light and darkness. Do you understand that? That there's no way. So when he says, when you earthly fathers being evil, in comparison to the goodness of God, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much greater does your heavenly Father? And here's the illustration. He says, if your child was to ask, say, would you give me a piece of bread? You wouldn't hand him a stone, because you would want to be a provider. Come on, moms and dads, do you know what I'm talking about? Why? Because we love our children, right? So if our child would ask of something that we have need of, wouldn't we willingly give to them without question? Of course you would. He said, if your child was to ask for a fish, you wouldn't hand him a snake, right? Because, and if we understand the concept of loving, which in comparison is not even close to the love of God, he knows how to love us ultimately and give to us. So when we see the love of God, who willingly, lovingly sent his Son Jesus Christ to die on Calvary's cross. Now I want you to catch this. To a world that rejected him. And we're comparing the earthly father and how they love their children. And we're learning here at our church, because this is our mandate and we understand it. God has said, I want you to love me with everything. Amen. Love God with your mind, heart, soul. Everything that you are ought to love God. How many want to love God just that much? Everything, every fiber of your being reaches out to the God who saved you. I love you back in return, right? And that that the next part of that, in the demonstration of what God's done for you, we love other people. And there again is the learning process, right? Can we just be honest with one another? Because that guy that takes your parking spot when you were trying to get into Walmart and they steal your spot, you're having a hard time loving them right at that moment. Come on, be real for a moment, right? And so here, now if somebody said, for that person that just stole your parking spot, would you die for them? Well, would you die for them? And then it gets a little closer. Well, then you've got people within the congregation that you really do love. But would you die for them? And then you come to your family, and of course, then you think, well, yeah, I would die for my family. That becomes easier, doesn't it? But the reality is Jesus Christ paid on Calvary's cross to die for a people that didn't even want him. Beat him, stripped him, put a crown of thorns onto his brow, pierced his side, he bled out. Dying on Calvary's cross, he says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. The Bible says in John, he came to his own didn't even receive him. I mean, I'm going to tell you, just to be honest, if I was Christ, have you ever tried to think the way he must have thought? Because if I was Christ, and I see that the ones I came to save are crucifying me, I'm struggling a little bit. Are you guys with me this morning? See, when we ask the question, would you die for your faith? Jesus did. Would you? Would you? And then the last thing that's really important that we got to get, will you share your faith? Look at your neighbor and say, we need you. You know, I've come to realize how important people are in the body of Christ, the purpose of people. How many realize that sheep reproduce after their kind? Sheep produce sheep. Right? How does that happen? One sheep grows into two, three, four, and they continue. And as a congregation, do you realize the importance of us reproducing more sheep? Amen. You know the responsibility. I know that God gives the increase, but church growth is produced by sheep producing sheep. How does that happen? You share your faith. How many believe in God appointments? Does anybody believe in that? We call them divine encounters or divine appointments. How many realize that everything that happens in your life does not catch God by surprise? Everything. You may say, yeah, but I just got in a car accident yesterday. God is never surprised by whatever situation you go through. You may be flat on your back in the hospital. And while you're there, somebody in the other bed is a divine appointment. That person coming into your room to bring a tray of food can become a divine appointment. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You've gone to the PG&E office with your 24-hour shutoff notice. You're not happy about that. But on your way in the building, you might have a divine appointment. Will you share your faith? Will you tell somebody what Jesus did for you? Would you take a moment and understand that that appointment is by destiny? That opportunity is not happen chance. It's not coincidence. That God ordered your directions and your steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man are what? Ordered of the Lord. That God purposed you being where you were at that specific time, at that specific moment. That God set it up. And they are God setups. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They're setups by God where God has placed a series of events. You thought it was an accident. You thought it was a coincidence. You thought it just happened. You were in the right place at the wrong time, or the wrong place at the right time, and it just happened to happen. But God ordered it. I've used this illustration, but I'm telling you, it's powerful. When it became a revelation to me, it changed how I thought about a lot of things. Jesus has just had a conversation with the rich ruler. He began to ask about what things he could do to be saved, not who I can believe. You know the story. And he said, well, you need to give all your stuff away. He thought, I'm not doing that. It's like dying for him, right? And then the very next chapter, we see a picture of a man by the name of Zacchaeus, who was a wee little guy. Shorter than me, I hope. And Zacchaeus climbed up, the Bible says, into a sycamore tree so he could get a glimpse of Christ. When I recognized one day that tree had been there a long time, I realized God purposed the growth of that tree many, 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 many years before Zacchaeus was going to need it. God set that tree there. Made sure it grew tall, made sure it grew strong, so that one day, by divine encounter, by divine appointment, Zacchaeus was going to need a tree to get up into so that he could see Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Everything around you is a setup. Everything around you is a setup by God. There's no accidents. God has orchestrated things. You're a believer today because God set up a situation in your life that had you look to Him for your salvation. It's a setup. Praise the Lord. I remember my brothers and I, we were living at the time in Wichita, Kansas. And my mom said to us, we're going to move to Oroville, California. And we're going to get saved. I didn't even know what that meant. My first thought was I needed to be saved. And to be honest with you, my first thought, I didn't talk to my brothers about that, I remember. But I remember thinking, sounds to me like you're going to be coming in on my Sundays. That's a day off. I'm in school Monday through Friday. I've got Saturday and Sunday. And I didn't like the idea of having to give up my Sunday to go get saved. I didn't like the idea to have to give up Sunday. And especially if that was going to be a requirement, I was going to have to do more than once. And so I began to think about, how am we going to get out of this? Having no idea that God already saw our arrival to Oroville, California, and what that moment of an encounter was going to be. God already knew. You could take a moment, couldn't you, and you can think back at how God set things up. I was talking to somebody here just the other day. He was telling me, even before he came to the Lord, and he said that before he came to Jesus, he said he was quite the guy. He said I did some bad stuff. And he says, and you know, looking back now that I'm a believer, I see God's hand in my life even then. How many can look back before you came to Christ and see God's hand in your life even then? Is anybody besides me? Come on, lift your hands. Let me see them. You know why? Because God orders things. Listen, you are the product of a setup. God set things into motion. So the third question, will you share your faith? Will you share your faith? Three questions that we've asked. Would you go to jail for your faith? I want you to think about these things. I really want you to dwell on them a little bit. Not just today, not just this moment. I want you to think about things. How strong is my faith? How committed am I to the walk with Jesus Christ? You know, listen. To some, it's a challenge just to get you to church every week. You know, you might think in yourself, man, I'm doing God a favor to be here. So, going to jail? Would you die for your faith? And are you willing to share your faith? Because somebody needs the testimony that you alone have. Somebody needs to hear what God did in your life. What is particular about you? What is unique about you? What is your story? Because everybody has their story. Everybody has however God brought you to where you are. Every single one of us have our own direction and destiny that God brought us. We didn't all arrive at the same place at the same time. We're all here and we all got saved, those of us that are born again, but we didn't get here the same travel. We all had our own journey. And it's your journey that will touch people's lives, and I hope infect people's lives. Don't you? I hope that who we are in Christ has such a contagious principle with it that other people see how happy we are as believers. Look at somebody and say, you're a happy believer. I hope so. What was that, Cindy? Happy believers. Everybody say happy believers. You know, sometimes we just need to notify our face that we're happy. But I believe it ought to be contagious, don't you? That it ought to be infectious. That the Bible says that these apostles that were so bold, they shared Christ Jesus in Jerusalem, and the entire Jerusalem community was being converted by the message of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be awesome if we convert our world as we know it, wherever we're at, to change our environment? Daniel, would you come? Stand with me, church. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Will you do that? Unstoppable believers, to the core. to the core. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Solid to the core. God, you can count on me. God, you can count on me. How many can say that? Somebody once said, if we're all that God has, is God in trouble? If you were the only one, you ever thought about that? Your commitment to Christ, your commitment to the church. Our whole theme for the church, our core values, is building together in love. And we take that from Ephesians 4:16 instead of 3:16 on our theme for 2015. But it says in Ephesians 4:16 where every part of the body has been jointly fit together. Where every single individual within the body is doing their part, pulling their weight, giving their portion, serving, loving, where every part is a setup, been put together by God, placed for another person's benefit. With that in mind, with that understanding, if you're all that God has, is God in trouble? Tough questions, huh? This morning, tough, right? Challenging? Hope so. How many think we ought to think about some of this stuff? Go ahead and sing to us. Abide in you. We take our delight in you, Lord. We are grateful this morning. I'm grateful for the early church. The boldness that was within the apostles to teach and preach your name throughout all Jerusalem, in spite of the opposition, in spite of the pressure to conform, who stood bold and defiant, and bold in witness, and bold in their lives, that determined that no matter what, they were going to obey you before man at all cost. God, I'm praying for a holy boldness. A holy boldness for your people today. That God, you will boldly reside in us. And they will, that we as your people would rise up in that boldness. That we would be able to answer those questions with an affirmative. Yes, if necessary, I would go to jail for my faith. If necessary, yes, I would even die for my faith. And absolutely, absolutely, I'm willing to share my faith. I'm ready for divine appointments, destiny to come knocking. That everywhere I go, looking for those moments of opportunity, setups by you, where you have set things in motion for me to share and to live out my faith. I would say of the Lord, you can count on me, God. I've made myself available. Come on, I want you to think about some of the things that we're praying this morning. Make them for yourself. I've made myself available. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet, God. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. Maybe you're here this morning. You've come into our service. I never want to close a service or assume that every single person that's come has already made a decision for Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity before we dismiss this service for you to make a decision. An eternal decision, not a temporary decision. Something that will carry beyond this life into eternity. When God breathed into man, he breathed into man a living spirit that's eternal. It is that spirit that died because of sin. And it is that spirit that is resurrected anew in Christ Jesus. It is that spirit that is in relationship with God. It is that spirit that becomes born again. This house, this flesh, is a prison that keeps the spirit within until the last breath is taken from this body. And that spirit then that knows God is instantly brought into the presence of Jesus Christ. Because it is that spirit that is in relationship with God. And if you don't know him, you may say, well, I've known about God all my life. But if you don't know him, it's not like a good book that you've read about the author. It's knowing the author. Knowing the author personally. If you don't know him as your Savior, if you've never given him lordship of your life, I invite you to make the decision for Christ today. You say, well, how do I do that? Our congregation is going to pray in a moment. I invite you to pray with us. Listen to me, though. It's got to be your prayer. You may repeat the words that I speak, but you've got to pray them from your heart, from that core, from the person that you really are. You need to admit, I need God. I've tried living this life without him, and I can't do it. Congregation, pray with me. And if you want to pray this prayer, repeat this prayer with us. Heavenly Father, I receive the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, into my life. Would you save me, God? Please forgive me. Wash my sins away. Make me brand new. Renew my spirit. Resurrect my spirit. From this day forward, I desire to serve you and to know you, and I commit myself to you. Change my life. Be my Lord from this day forward, in Jesus' name. Father, bless this entire house, every man, woman, boy, and girl. I pray you would bless them abundantly, that you would protect them. Keep your hand upon them throughout this week. Touch their lives. Let us be an impact. Let us be infectious. Let us be contagious with our message of Jesus Christ. Let us turn our world, as the apostles of old did, upside down for your glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. If you'd like special prayer this morning, I'm up here.